From the newsroom of The Oklahoman, I'm Dave Morris, and this is Oklahoman Unfolded. Last October, Oklahomans were able to purchase full-strength beer and wine at grocery stores, convenience stores, liquor stores, and pharmacies. However, the law also changed how the industry conducts business. A new bill signed by Governor Kevin Stitt on Monday revised some of the business changes. Today is Wednesday, May 15th. The Oklahoman's David Dishman has been covering the changes to the state's liquor laws for nearly 2 years. He joins us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, first question. So how did this law that went into effect on October 1st change the liquor industry in Oklahoma? And I realize that's a broad question, but that's what it was designed to do, was change the liquor law.
Yeah, there are two main components. One is the consumer side, which most everybody's familiar with. That's the wine and beer, and strong beer in grocery stores, convenience stores.
That's kind of the where I can buy my beer or my strong
Exactly.
drinks.
Before, you could only get the 3-2 alcohol by weight beer in grocery stores and no wine. So now you can get the strong beer and the wine. Liquor stores also can sell refrigerated strong beer. Before, you had to buy it off the shelf, no picking up a cold six-pack at the liquor store.
Some of these experiences people from out of state were accustomed to, they come to Oklahoma, that wasn't the case before October 1st.
Right. And that had been in place for decades. What was not so well understood were the changes to the distribution model. Oklahoma had what was called a four-tier system, and we shrunk it down to what is now known as a three-tier system, where there's the manufacturers of the products, and those manufacturers sell to a wholesaler who distributes those products to a retailer. Before, we had an extra tier in the middle called a distributor, a broker, and they worked with those wholesalers. So now, in that middle tier, the other change that occurred was those wholesalers were granted the ability to gain sole distribution rights to certain products. So if you were an alcohol distributor an alcohol manufacturer or a winemaker from somewhere, you could work with one wholesaler in the state to distribute your product to every single retailer. So if you go to a bar anywhere across the state and grab a glass of Jack and Coke, it's going to be distributed by one company.
So this brings into play what we're talking about now, Senate Bill 608. So that's the newest measure, and mm-hmm. How did that come about?
So 608 kind of walks back some of what changes were made in 792 with regard to the distribution. Senate Bill 608 calls for the top 25 brands of wine and spirits to be made available to every single wholesaler in the state so they can distribute it to everybody. This is good news for those who did not have those designated rights to some of the top 25 brands. This is bad news for those companies who went out and were able to secure those contracts with those brands for sole distribution purposes. So instead of now my company being the only one to be able to distribute, you know, this top 25 brand, now I have to share those revenues with every wholesaler in the state, every distributor in the state.
And what was the governor's perspective on this?
He agreed with the decision made by his legislature, and that was that the added competition of multiple wholesalers having access to all these products would be a benefit to the retailers. They can order from any number of wholesalers to get product delivered to their stores or their restaurants or their bars, whereas for the last few months, it's been up to the delivery schedule of one company. So if you run out of a certain kind of vodka and you know that company that has that brand isn't delivering to your store for another 2 weeks, you're up a creek without a paddle until 2 weeks later when you can get that at the earliest. Now you can order from another distributor if they're coming into town the next day or later that day and grab some more and keep more on your shelves.
This cleanup language kind of went back to the old distribution model, and I think that will provide more opportunities for our rural convenience stores, the restaurants. It gives them more options on where they get their products from. Mm-hmm. And so it was an unintended consequence, I think, that happened on that original change.
Yeah.
It was voted on by the House and the Senate as a majority to get to my desk, and I agreed with the House and the Senate.
So let's talk about from the consumer aspect. How does this affect Joe Sixpack?
The consumer aspect, you'll notice likely very little change if you notice anything at all. Pricing has gone up a touch since the changes, and there are a few different reasons for that. But that pricing has come closer to national standards. We had cheap alcohol before, and now we're just kind of back coming close to what the rest of the country experiences. So I don't foresee a huge increase or decrease or change much at all. It's not going to change where you can buy your stuff. The grocery stores and convenience stores, they're going to still sell all their wine and strong beer, and the liquor stores will still sell their cold beer as well as everything they've always sold.
What's your go-to drink?
Beer. My favorite one I've ever had is my next one.
He's David Dishman. He covers the alcohol industry as well as CBD, marijuana, and other fine products that you can find coverage of in the Oklahoman and online at newsok.com and oklahoman.com. David, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Dave.
Also in the Oklahoman, a Senate panel on Tuesday advanced Governor Kevin Stitt's remaining appointees to the State Board of Education, despite opposition from Senate Democrats. Democratic State Senator Kerry Hicks had declined to carry two candidates through the confirmation process, citing philosophical differences on the future of education. The appointments of Jennifer Moniz, Estela Hernandez, Kurt Bullenbach, and Brian Bobeck will advance to the full Senate, the last step in the confirmation process. Arcadia Trails Center for Addiction Recovery will open its doors later this month. The Intensive Residential Treatment Center is the first of its kind in Oklahoma. The program is designed around a 90-day stay with a 1 year of follow-up care. Research shows treatment for 90 days results in higher rates of success.
We don't want Oklahomans going out of state and coming back and not having the resources. We were going to bring the community in and do recovery groups and try to introduce folks to different, you know, sponsors, accountability partners, get them connected with the community so that when they're, you know, when they finish with us, they will continue to have relationships and contacts and, once they leave here.
Arcadia Trails accepts voluntary admissions only if people 18 or older who have a primary diagnosis of chemical addiction with or without co-occurring mental illness or trauma. That does it for today's episode of Oklahoman Unfolded. Cheers to David Dishman for joining us. I'm Dave Morris. We'll see you Thursday.